From the studios of KPCW in Park City, this is Cool Science Radio.
Science and technology that's accessible and entertaining.
If we can understand it, you can understand it.
I'm Lynn Ware Peake.
And I'm John Wells.
You know, one of the sad and very real consequences of the pandemic is an increase of people who are in pain. 1 year before COVID in January 2019, 11% of adults reported symptoms of anxiety disorder and or depressive disorder, according to the Kaiser Family Foundation. 2 years later, in January 2021, the numbers had increased from 11% to 41% of adults reporting those same symptoms. Last night on CNN, they reported a rise of young adults who had thoughts of suicide, and they had risen from 10.7% in 2018 to 25.5% in 2020 during the pandemic. So on Cool Science Radio, we're trying to shine a light on scientific strategies that you may not know about. In May of this year, Leah Harder, who is the director of the Counseling Center at Park City's Christian Center, was on our program to discuss a technology called AlphaStim that they use successfully with their patients. 1 month later, we brought in Dr. Alex Belzer to talk about controlled use of psilocybin and MDMA to treat depression and anxiety. Podcasts are available for both of these interviews. And if you can't find them, just drop us a line at coolscienceradio@kpcw.org and we'll send them to you. This morning, Leah Harder joins us to talk about an effective psychotherapy method called EMDR, eye movement desensitization and reprocessing. Leah Harder, welcome back to Cool Science Radio.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
It's good to have you. It's hard to pronounce some of these words.
They're a mouthful for sure. And then even more confusing, what does it mean?
Exactly. Yeah.
So before we go into EMDR, I have a question about these polling numbers that I cited for the year 2020 and the poll in January 2021. Today, 7 months later, is it your sense, do you think that these numbers are the same, maybe increasing, maybe decreasing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sadly, I would say they're the same, maybe even increasing. Yeah, even our own statistics at the Christian Center of Park City, we have seen with our counseling center an increase from a year ago, from a six-month block of the first 6 months of 2020 to 21, a 29% increase in counseling sessions, 68% in adolescent and child sessions. And part of one of the ways that people pay for sessions is the use and the support of our scholarship sessions. And we've seen a big need and increase, a 40% increase. So another grief specialist, she talked about, you know, the COVID pandemic is a little bit different, but we are in a grief pandemic, and it is definitely still hitting people's emotional and mental health.
Yeah, okay. Well, let's talk about this new strategy, EMDR. Maybe you can tell us what it basically is.
Yeah, so it stands for Eye Movement Desensitization and Reprocessing. It was developed by Francine Shapiro in 1989, and it was just by chance. She was walking through the park, and she found that when she moved her eyes from left to right and was thinking about something disturbing, that it changed. The intensity of that changed and came down. Then she went on to do some studies involving those coming home, the veterans from Vietnam, and presented the criteria with that had PTSD. And then thanks to that work, she developed a full eclectic EMDR protocol and found it to be extremely helpful for veterans.
So I'm going to very much oversimplify what happens to us, and then you can go into it a little bit more sort of physiologically. But if we have a traumatic experience, there is some sort of defense mechanism that while we're in this traumatic experience, we handle it somehow. But we know that the trauma, and when I say trauma, you know, it could be anything from a crisis experience to depression to, as you say, suicidal ideation. We store these experiences on some level in our bodies. And until you bring those out and deal with them, they're always going to be there. And I think that everyone in the last 18 months you know, during the mask phase where we're all masked up,
yeah,
we, you know, we just handled it. It's what we did. And it's interesting. I hear people say now, after going for 4 months or whatever, not having to wear a mask, and now we're masking up again, it feels a little bit like this trauma or this PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. And so if you could go into that with a little bit more detail about what really goes on in our body with these crisis moments or experiences.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, our bodies are amazing. Our brains, so much still to understand. But we are adaptive creatures, you know, adaptive people. We adapt, and in intense situations, we do adapt. However, that pattern of adapting in the moment later can become maladaptive. So for instance, someone who's gone and been a part of something intense, like a war, in the moment, it's what they needed to survive. But then they come home and they're still getting the triggers. That memory is stored in our, in multi ways within our brains. The sights of it, the sounds, the smell. Smell is so powerful for memory. Even the body is adjusted and is focused on that and is stuck in that. And so what EMDR, the simple way, it's just probably the best way I can describe it. Think of just like our bodies heal without having to do much. You know, we have a cut, you don't have to tell your body what to do. However, if there's a splinter in it, we have to get that out in order for the infection or the irritant to heal. So the same thing is with trauma. We have an experience that is blocked and imbalanced in our brains. It's blocked. It has disturbed sights, negative thoughts. Your body is stuck there. And the blockage festers and can cause then all these symptoms now in current situations. So what EMDR does, it removes that blockage using the protocols, working with a therapist, and which allows the healing to resume. And then the protocol activates the body's natural healing process.
So we're talking about EMDR, eye movement desensitization and reprocessing therapy, and how this differs. So say I was a veteran of a war and I had a lot of traumatic moments and experiences, and I'm suffering PTSD. I'm sitting in the therapist's office, and it's hard to recreate, you know, talk about these painful moments. And to a certain degree, you know, as you say, we've adapted, locked them away. And the great thing about EMDR is that you, to a certain degree, and help us understand, you don't really have to go back into those moments, or you do.
Well, that's the beauty of EMDR. You know, traditionally, evidence-based approaches for doing this type of work has been traditionally cognitive behavioral therapy, and that's focusing on the thoughts and then going back and trying to change your thoughts so that you can change your feelings. That is very difficult, and there was a lot of barriers with that. So EMDR is different in that you don't have to go through all the details. You don't have to directly challenge the beliefs. You don't have to have that extended exposure. So 21 years I've been doing therapy, and about 15 years ago, I decided I had taken my clients so far, especially with cognitive behavioral therapies, and they were getting stuck. They were stuck in the thoughts and the feelings, and they couldn't change the feelings. They were just so stuck. So that's where I went ahead and got the training of EMDR, which is a very lengthy process. Therapists that have done this training have had a lot of supervision, a lot of oversight to get to the point of being able to do this. And because then, instead of working on the thoughts as the top, it's a bottom-up perspective, starting more in the limbic system, focusing on the body and the feelings, getting rid of those negative thoughts on those levels, which has seemed to be, I've seen clients go so much further in their healing processes.
If you're just joining us on Cool Science Radio, we are speaking with Leah Harder. She is the director of the Counseling Center at Park City's Christian Center. So we're not just talking about collapsing a timeline of using EMDR versus using traditional psychotherapy sessions. We're talking about sort of a game changer because, as you said, some of your clients were actually getting stuck and we're not able to move on further. Is that?
Yeah, exactly. When someone first comes in, you know, a lot of therapies are doing talk therapy, and you're talking about what's going on and sharing what's how you're feeling. And that's how I always begin, is building rapport with the client, is building a relationship, making sure that, you know, we're on the same page for the goals that we're headed towards, and that there's a connection, that they feel that they can trust me. And then we'll evaluate whatever symptoms they're bringing in and come up with a plan. And the plan sometimes includes EMDR because it can be so helpful for the trauma. Also anxiety. People don't always realize current anxiety, and this is where COVID could be of a huge help. I've had clients come in, they're struggling with anxieties, and we can set that up as a target, use the protocol, and even within 50 minutes of the session, see their symptoms come down. So it just accelerates the healing process without having to go into near as much detailed, prolonged stress and emotion triggering.
I'm curious about one thing. It's obvious if you're a soldier in Iraq and you get caught in a firefight and you have this horrific experience, that's going to really impact you. Or if you're in an automobile accident, or, you know, something, or you're robbed or something like that, you know, these events. Do you have patients who really can't identify a single issue until you get into the therapy and you start to uncover things, and then you can use EMDR, or is EMDR for these very large, life-changing, traumatic events?
Yeah, you know, John, what you're talking about is what I call big T traumas. We think of those as big traumas, car wrecks, natural disasters, that kind of thing. And the beauty of EMDR, people don't realize we have a lot of small T traumas, especially things that last a long time, like COVID and how we had to adapt and all the fear that we had. People don't even see how neglect over a long period of time can lead to intense trauma. And so we can help somebody figure out, they're getting all kinds of symptoms that are coming out right now, anxiety, depression, insomnia, those kind of issues. We can help them figure out where it might be coming at, that maybe what they never thought of as a big T trauma, but as a series of little T traumas that can be causing the same symptoms.
So going back to Francine Shapiro, who created the work back in the 80s, you talked about initially she's walking across a park and she's mm-hmm. her eyes are going left to right, left to right. So going into what the actual practice is, it's interesting to talk about. It's my understanding that it doesn't just have to be eye movement. It can be like tapping on one side and then the other. It's something about a left-right thing. So what's that all about?
Yeah, the mechanisms for change. So what the eyes going back and forth was later what she called bilateral stimulation. And even when we're walking, we're going left, right, left, right. And there's two theories on how EMDR seems to work. There's a couple of hypotheses. There's many, but these two are the ones that most clinicians explain it as. So in REM sleep, when you're sleeping at night, is when you're in your deepest sleep. It's when you're having your dreams. However, when something's traumatic or it's connected with anxiety, it's more than what our brains can process in everyday sleep. And if you saw someone in REM sleep, their eyes were closed, they would be going back and forth and they're just processing everyday stuff. And so that's the beauty of EMDR in a conscious state. By adding this left-right movement, they are reprocessing it in a conscious state, what normally they was stuck in the sleep state. So that's one theory, is the REM sleep and mimicking that with the left-right. And you're right, it could be eye movements. We also have buzzers that buzz, that go left-right, that my clients hold, and that's the majority way that my clients use the EMDR with our protocols. There's also audio that you could use that is left-right in your ears. And any way to add that bilateral stimulation helps in the healing process. The second theory, which I'll tell you real quick, is just that there's thought that adding the bilateral stimulation while setting up the target, it helps integrate different parts of your brain. So your right hemisphere, your left hemisphere, you're not just thinking it through on a cognitive level, you're thinking it through on a feeling and a body sensation, and that linkage helps desensitize or bring down the intensity of the experience.
So I just want to say also that this is not a woo-woo sort of therapy out there. This has been very widely researched, documented, and there are about 10,000 practitioners that practice it in this country or maybe around the world, this country, I'm assuming. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting, and something I was reading was that Prince Harry recently used EMDR, which kind of, you know, puts it out there into the world and you hear about it, to deal with some of his childhood trauma, which we all know, you know, including the death of his mother. And so it is mainstream. It's, and so, but do you find that, anyway, your clients come in or your patients come in, is there any resistance or how long does it take? How many sessions to kind of get into a flow of doing this?
Yeah, most people coming in, they haven't heard about it unless they've had another clinician say, you know, you need to find an EMDR clinician. Most people don't know about it. However, I mean, there's so much research, 30 positive controlled outcome studies that have been put out there, which show 84 to 90% improvement for people that have had a single traumatic event, even after just 3 90-minute sessions. So coming in, we're going to build rapport. We're going to set up our goals. By the second session, if we've decided that EMDR is the way to go, we'll start initially with developing emotion regulation tools, which is you want to be able to have calming mechanisms, ways to calm yourself down, especially before you would head into any trauma target. So then, you know, I tell people, if you could work with me for 4 to 6 weeks, you're going to see a change. And people love that. 4 to 6 weeks rather than the psychoanalytic month after month on the couch or even, you know, trying to change thoughts. It's you see results very quickly, and that's super exciting.
It certainly is. You know, when you were back here the end of May, I told the story of a friend of mine from Boston that called me and said, you know, I'm having some trouble, and I've called like 3 or 4 places, and they've all on their voicemail say we're no longer taking new customers. And this friend of mine didn't know where to go. And I asked you, do you have that situation? Said, no, we are still taking new customers. Is that still the case?
Absolutely. So you just call the Christian Center main number, 435-649-2260, extension 1. Talk to Kirsten or Heather, and they can help you figure out which clinician. I sometimes have cancellations and get people in. We have an intern that has availability, as well as another practitioner coming from Wyoming that is doing great EMDR work with people. She can work with couples. She can work with families. She's very well-rounded. So, yep, just give us a call. You can go to the Christian Center website, which is ccofpc.org, and look under mental health and have all the contact information as well as the biographies of each of our clinicians.
We only have a couple minutes left, but I'm curious about this, and that's that they say that when you go to sleep that there's some housekeeping that's going on while you're sleeping. And getting to rapid eye movement, getting to REM sleep, of course, is important. Some people don't get there, and I was wondering, does the REM sleep help with some of the housekeeping of some emotional events that happen? And if you can't get to REM, then you're going to have more problems?
Absolutely. Yeah, we sleep is restorative. That's when our body heals. And in REM, you're processing your everyday experiences. So if you're not getting there, absolutely, you can be stuck on some of those intense experiences. It's just too much to process. So that's where the EMDR, again, can be super helpful for accelerating the healing.
I just want to mention again that Cool Science Radio, we're trying to shine a light on some of these scientific strategies that you may not have heard of before. Leah Harder was here back the end of May talking about Alpha Stim, which was just a fascinating conversation. And then we had a gentleman here to talk about psilocybin and MDMA to treat depression and anxiety. And this morning's program, of course, on EMDR. If you would like to get the other two podcasts, give us a shout out at Cool Science Radio at kpcw.org, and we will email them to you. Leah Harder is the director of the Counseling Center at Park City's Christian Center. We want to thank you so much for joining us. And is there anything else that you want to share with us that we didn't get to so far in maybe 30 seconds?
Yeah, I mean, I'm always just going to say, you know, there's a lot of people struggling out there. You're not alone. And there is help. You don't have to go through this by yourself. You may not feel comfortable talking to your friends or family. And that's where a therapist can come in. Totally neutral, is here 100% to listen to you. And don't hesitate and suffer on your own. Reach out, and there is help. And just like we've seen with the recent experience with Simone Biles, it's okay to not be okay. We all have issues.
Exactly. Well, thank you very much.
Yeah.
Thanks, Leo. Thanks for tuning in to Cool Science Radio.
If you enjoyed this episode, please rate us, give us a 5, and leave us a comment.
Take us along on your next adventure to the moon.
If you have any story ideas, please let us know at coolscienceradio@kpcw.org.
Thanks for listening. And hey, tune in next week.